views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for Friends Smart Talk all day. It is Monday, the 18th of May, 2026, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. We've got lots to talk about. We are, I guess, rushing through the post-election review. I do think we need to take more time collectively. And maybe not on the airwaves, but collectively in organized groups to continue to dissect the results of the election so that we can understand where we're going once we've passed the post, right? We're in that first past the post system where all analysis tends to stop once we've identified the first past the post. I don't think that's been very helpful to us. Davis has named his cabinet one of largest cabinets in Bahamian history. Senate members have been named. We're going to go through that as well. Portfolio changes. I think that's extremely important and interesting. I think it's worthy of interrogation. I have a bunch of questions. Then we look to the Gaming Act. We look to the Gaming Act as we watch Leslie Miller Bryce and Sebastian Bastian be appointed to cabinet. And, you know, we could start with the questions right away. Now, mind you, I see today's headline in the Tribune. It's huge. Not just the font, you know, but the story itself. If we have time, we shall read from the papers vis-a-vis the story. The Guardian headline we'll be reading from at some point is Bahamian arrested after election day plane crashes. You got to check out today's Guardian. An article by Candia Dames, the executive editor. The election results and analysis. I think, as always, it will be a good, informative, right, read from Ms. Dames. Before we get the show started, I want to remind you of the show now up at Ponciana Paper Press. Polling Stationery. One show, two exhibitions, including propaganda and feminist standards for governance results from the year-long workshop series, policy development workshop series. The results are very, very interesting and informative. The people who participated in each working session really brought a lot of information and lived experience to the table. Ponciana Paper Press, the show is available for viewing Thursday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. And Ponciana Paper Press is on number 12 Parkgate Road. The science of politics, this is a text, the science of politics doesn't say vote for what is right, but what is appealing. Bahamians like free things, so let them bite iron and catch hell. Erin, I'm numb and tone deaf to all their cries going forward. You get what you deserve when you stay home and vote, and when you vote for things. Okay, so two things. What we have seen over the last several decades, election cycles, is that voting does not necessarily produce the results that the person that you voted for said that they would produce. So you can understand why many people have sort of refrained, have stepped away from that space. It is not hard to understand why. Voting for things, like we all vote for things, right? We all vote for things. We vote for bridges to be fixed. We vote for roads to be fixed. We vote for schools to be resourced properly. Everybody votes for things. When you see that you voted time after time after time, and the very basic things that you should expect as a citizen are treated like gifts, and then they become gifts that you never get. Like, I, you know, life is fascinating. Imagine you have, you know that Bahamian saying, if you ask, you ain't gonna get none, and if you don't ask, you don't want none? It's like that's become a mantra of the political class. If you ask for it, you ain't gonna get it. And if you don't ask for it, why would you expect to get it? These sorts of things continually wear people down. Have you noticed yet that there's been a significant increase in bad driving since the election? People are manifesting their frustration on the roadways. It is clear to see to anybody who is observing, who is paying attention. So it's not as simple as people, you stay home, you get what you deserve, and voting for things, in fact. It is, what you're seeing now is profound frustration, right? Where people are very aware of how dangerous it is to direct their frustrations at the source of the frustration, the political class, the governing class, and the governing mechanisms. That's all it is. They're acting in frustration. Like, let's delve right into it now. Did Wayne Monroe pull a Bahamas Constitution 73-1A on the constituents of Freetown? Right? What 73-1A says is that on any occasion that the Governor General must appoint a Prime Minister, they must appoint the person who is the leader of the party that commands the majority of the seats in the House. Wayne Monroe was removed from the lower house of assembly by voters who woke up the next morning to find out that he had been appointed, returned to the House of Assembly by appointment to the upper house. How do you think they feel? Now, a very learned legal mind sort of chastised me and said, you know, people, I think he was talking to me directly, like, I don't understand the law. And then I just said, you know, maybe we should be teaching people these things in school. Yeah? And then they would have known that they couldn't just vote Mr. Monroe out, that they had to send an overt message that could not be ignored to the Davis administration, the PLP, that under no circumstances did they expect to see Mr. Monroe back in the House of Assembly, at least not so quickly. You gotta be decent, man, like Mr. Fitzgerald. He waited 9 years before he came back to the House of Assembly after being removed by the voters. Right? They're decent. I mean, he spent 4.5 of those years in the office of the prime minister, but he was very, very slow in returning to the House of Assembly. The point is, how do these voters feel? I'm coming to you now, caller, give me a second, let me just finish this off. Then we turn to the appointments of, or the appointments of Mrs. Leslie Miller Bryce and Mr. Sebastian Bastian to the cabinet. right? How do the voters in Seabreeze and the voters in Fort Charlotte feel? Fort Charlotte, in particular, how do you feel, right? Like, if you remember this article from the Nassau Tribune, 11th of July, 2025. PM welcomes Sabas's political interest, rules out gaming law change. PM Davis today welcomed the political aspirations of Island Luck co-founder Sabas Bastien, but told reporters that there was no consideration to amend the law barring individuals with gaming licenses from serving in cabinet. Mr. Davis described Mr. Bastien as a, quote, successful young businessman, close quotes, with an, quote, innovative mind, close quotes. If only I had known. See, when I wrote this article, like on the 11th, when I composed my notes and copy and pasted this article, I didn't stick a pin next to innovative, you know, but I have it in bold. Quote, he has expressed an interest in running, and once he applies, his application will be considered in the same context as we consider any other aspirant, close quotes, Mr. Davis told reporters. Quote, but I can say I welcome his willingness to come forward to help him build this country, close quotes. Mr. Bastien has confirmed that he is considering a political bid, but has not made a final decision. The Gaming Act currently bars cabinet ministers and their immediate family members from holding gaming licenses. Sabreez MP Leslie Amilla Bryce recently told the Tribune that she supports amending the law. Sorry, let me read that with the emphasis in the proper place. Miller Bryce recently told the Tribune that she supports amending the law. It is widely speculated that Miller Bryce was bypassed for a cabinet post due to her husband's ties to the gaming industry. On Friday, the Prime Minister firmly ruled out any amendments to existing laws. Quote, I don't think we will amend the law to have cabinet ministers to have an interest in gaming licenses, close quotes, Mr. Davis said. Quote, that's not on the table for me, close quotes. So I go back to the question, how do the residents of Seabreeze and Fort Charlotte feel having woken up, learning that both Mrs. Miller Bryce and Mr. Bastien will be appointed to cabinet? So I want to delve into this just a moment because we got some more statements, right? Let's go to 16th of May Eyewitness News appointment clarity. Newly appointed Minister of Innovation. Oh, see, remember the innovative I was telling you all about sticking the pin? Look who was the Minister of Innovation and National Development. Newly appointed Minister of Innovation and National Development, Sabas Bastien, responding to concerns regarding his cabinet appointment following his former role as head of gaming operations at Island Luck. According to Bastien, he has satisfied all conditions outlined under the Bahamas Gaming Act and by the regulator, the Gaming Board, to hold the post. The Bahamas Gaming Act does not automatically bar someone connected to a gaming company from serving in cabinet. Instead, the law focuses on whether a person has prohibited ownership, control, or influence over a licensed gaming operation. The Act also makes clear that certain indirect interests held through a fund or investment structure are excluded where the individual does not control the investment decisions relating to that structure. Before the general election, Bastien stepped down as CEO of Island Luck and declared on nomination day that a substantial portion of his financial interests and that of his family are held in trusts. Bastien maintains that by relinquishing executive authority and control, he complied with those legal and regulatory requirements. Now, let's fast forward, or let's go back to another statement. Bryce resigns, also 16th of May Eyewitness News. Leander Bryce has resigned from his position as chief executive of GLK Limited, trading as Ashore Wind, to allow for the appointment of his wife in keeping with government protocols and to avoid any potential conflict of interest. Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis has appointed Seabreeze Member of Parliament Leslie Amila Bryce to Cabinet, where she was officially sworn in today as Minister of Culture, Arts, and Heritage. We're going to fast forward. Leander Bryce formally resigned from his position as Chief Executive Officer of GLK Limited, trading as Assurewind Gaming, prior to her appointment. Mr. Bryce confirmed his resignation in correspondence submitted to the Gaming Board for the Bahamas, dated May 5, 2026, advising of his intention to step away in company and related financial interests. That date, May 5th, 2026. So that suggests to me that the Prime Minister was aware of a plan, whether it was his plan or not at this point, I don't care, was aware of a plan to appoint both Bastian and Miller Bryce to Cabinet. Why didn't the Prime Minister tell the voters in those constituencies that that was a consideration if the Davis administration was given another term? Now, the FNM say, in this article posted on Eyewitness News on Sunday, that's yesterday, the headline is Full Disclosure. The FNM is calling for full transparency and immediate clarification regarding the appointment of cabinet ministers connected to interests within the gaming industry. The opposition argues that the provisions of Section 25 and 26 of the Gaming Act raise important legal and ethical questions that cannot be ignored. The opposition says it believes the matter should be fully disclosed and, if necessary, tested before the courts so that the law may be clearly interpreted and upheld in the national interest. Now, I want to take us all the way back to 2023. Nassau Guardian. Gaming Board proposes change to law that restricts certain groups from gaming licenses. Now, this is May 4th, 2023. The Gaming Board is proposing an amendment to the Gaming Act that would allow cabinet ministers, gaming board members, and their relatives to hold gaming operator licenses. Under Section 25(1)(c) of the Gaming Act 2014, these groups are prohibited from holding licenses. Quote, we had challenges in practice with this particular section because essentially it precludes any person who's trying to get in the gaming industry who is related to a cabinet member or member of the board from being licensed in that area, close quote, said Gaming Board Chief Counsel Crystal Knowles. Quote, therefore, it is envisioned that Section 25(1)(c) of the Act, which currently provides that a person may not hold an employment license if that person is a member of the board, a member of the cabinet, or is a family member of such person, it is proposed that that will be deleted, close quotes. Political observers speculated that the rule preventing relatives of cabinet ministers from holding gaming operator licenses most notably impacted Seabreeze MP and Ambassador to CARICOM, Leslie Amila Bryce. Some believed that Miller Bryce was skipped over. Some, not her. Some believed that Miller Bryce was skipped over for a cabinet post because of her familial ties with the gaming industry. Knowles, that's Crystal Knowles, the Gaming Board Chief Counsel. Knowles said the Gaming Board made two suggestions for how that provision could be amended. Quote, it will be amended to either remove a member of the cabinet from the list of persons who are currently disqualified from holding an employment license, or it will include language from Section 25(1)(d) to the effect that the board may condone such disqualification if it is satisfied that no material conflict of interest will arise by reason of such employment, close quotes. Minister of Tourism, Investments, and Aviation Chester Cooper said the Gaming Board's proposals are not yet before Cabinet. That was May 4th, 2023. So, like, I have a couple of questions, right? And the questions are, as I try to frame them properly, before I ask the questions, let's go to the Gaming Act and the relevant sections. Gaming Act 2014, Section 25, disqualifications for employment licenses. 1, a person may not hold an employment license if that person, and then we go to C, is a member of the board, a member of the cabinet, or is a family member of such person. 2, a person may not hold a gaming employee license if that person, A, does not comply with the requirements 24AI, or B, if a person referred to in subsection 1, C, D, E, F, or H. So D is an employee of the board or a family member of such person, provided that the board may condone such disqualification where it exists in respect of this again, 25.1D. A person may not hold an employment license if that person is an employee of the board or a family member of such person, provided that the board may condone such disqualification where it exists in respect of a family member if it is satisfied that no material conflict of interest will arise by reason of such employment. Now we're going to go to 26, disqualification for other licenses and interests in such licenses. 1, this section does not apply to an employment license. 2, a person may not hold a license referred to in section 23.1A, B, C, D, or F, or a financial interest of 5% or more in the holder of such a license if that person, A, is a person referred to in section 25.1A, C, E, F, G, or H, or B, is a family member other than a brother or sister of a person who is a member of or employee of the board. 3, subject to compliance with sections 31, 3, 4, 5, and 6, the board must recommend to the minister the refusal of any license contemplated in this act if, after conducting the investigations contemplated by this act, it has reason to believe that. And this goes on, right? So these, I think, are the two sections of the Gaming Act that are relevant. So here are my questions and here's how I'm framing them. I, at this point, don't think the law was broken, right? I don't think the law was broken. I don't think there's been a breach. My questions are, why didn't the Prime Minister bring more clarity to this dynamic? Why didn't the Prime Minister refer to his statements? I was about to tell the Prime Minister to reverse back, you know. We can never mind with that. But why didn't the Prime Minister refer to his statements made or the statements iterated in this article, PM welcomes Sabas's political interests, rules out gaming law change, right? Why didn't the Prime Minister refer to his earlier statement providing clarity? Is it that you said that you rule out gaming law change because at that point in time you knew that no change was necessary for those individuals to qualify to be a member of Parliament if their family members or themselves remove themselves sufficiently from the operations of said entities? Like, why not just be clear about it? Why not just be, remember that? The hat of government? Honesty, accountability, transparency, right? Like, why you just didn't put on the hat for this one? So, with my understanding, like I said, I don't think the law has been broken, but how do the residents of Seabreeze and Fort Charlotte feel? Were you under the impression when you went into the booth that if you voted for either of them respectively, that this would not result in them being appointed to the cabinet? How does it feel? Because this is a conversation that had to have been taking place before May 5th, 2026. And when the Prime Minister used that word innovative on the 11th of July, 2025, I suspect They knew from all the way back then. How the prime minister going to say that you have an innovative mind and then all of a sudden you end up as the Minister of Innovation and National Development? Anyway, let's go to the text line. Aaron, this is a serious question for your point of view. Is the PLP more LGBTQ plus friendly than the FNM or why? My opinion is that the PLP is more friendly and understanding because of the people in their government and party. Hey, that's a heavy one, eh? I don't know. I think that we have seen similar movement. On this point, I don't think the parties differ at all. I don't think they differ at all. All right, let's go back to the text line. Ooh. Aaron, quote, if I had said anything, I would have lost my job, close quotes. My mother, who lived near Rubus Marathon with the oil leak for who knows how long, died of cancer. Businesses in the area who had employees with mysterious illnesses quietly abandoned those buildings. Nobody knew. Apparently, MP Jerome Fitzgerald knew. Jerome Fitzgerald, who begged investors Marillion for a substantial sum of money, I paraphrase in there, to help his ill father, his family's health. Jerome Fitzgerald has been appointed by Davis as an MP. He comes with a glowing recommendation. I'm going to read it for you if I have enough time today. Producer, prep the first caller. As the text goes on, text, I'm going to come back to that text. They sent subsequent texts. Good morning, caller.
Hey, your morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
Listen, you know how I doing? I try not to get sued today. Good stuff. How you doing?
Right, Mom. But you only, what the Prime Minister did, right, by creating a ministry for him, you don't think that was basically like a safe call? Because bear in mind, right, the guy, he's involved in so many different businesses, right? Mm-hmm. You couldn't give him a Ministry of Works, conflict interest. You couldn't give him Ministry of Housing, conflict interest. You couldn't give him Ministry of Finance. That simply won't happen. So most things you give him, right, would be basically a conflict interest. So the safe thing to do is, and yeah, you know, you have to give him something. All the money he brings to the table, you gotta give him something. So I think the safe thing, what they did, was to create a ministry for him. And I don't think it's actually a bad idea, you know, because AI is actually the big thing right now, right, and a lot of different ideas and entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. and a lot of millionaires could actually come out of this, you know.
Okay,
now,
cool.
Now, who worked there to try partner ideas now?
Cool.
I'm saying, don't be stupid and don't partner it.
I got you, but here's my thing. You really think that this is the safest seat with the least risk of conflict of interest?
Okay, you couldn't give him immigration. Mm-mm. Don't do that. No one wants that one.
But it's not just that. Like for me, he's a neophyte. How? Listen. And I got another caller. I want to say thank you for your contribution. Producer, let's go to the next. Let's prep the next caller. How do people like Bacchus Roll, Wade Watson, Leonardo Lightburn feel? I ain't worried about Mikhail Barnaby and Kay Cornish. How they feel with Sabas coming in as a first-time minister with all of the pageantry and furor, and he get not just a whole ministry, he get an exciting ministry. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, and good morning to the nation.
Mm-hmm.
But just permit me, before I say anything else, just to congratulate all of the cabinet,
mm-hmm.
of the Davis cabinet that was appointed.
Mm-hmm.
I wish them the best in every regard.
Anton, I need you to come closer to the phone. I can bear you.
Oh, you can't hear me? Can you hear me any better now?
It is much better now.
Okay, sorry. I'm saying that I just wanted to congratulate all of the persons that were appointed to the Davis cabinet, and I wish them every best in every regard. As it relates to everything that they will be doing to advance the Bahamian people and to advance the nation, right?
Mm-hmm.
As long as they keep that in their foresight, I think that we will be all right. Now, you were speaking about your concerns regards to persons who are involved in the numbers industry, right?
No.
Who are closely tied.
No. Let's be very, very clear. I'm speaking of my concerns about the lack of clarity, transparency, and honesty around the process of them being appointed to the cabinet. I'm not critiquing them at all.
If I could just say what I wanted to, mm-hmm. As it relates to the cabinet isn't announced until the prime minister is sworn in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first point.
Right? Okay, but hold on. But
he doesn't make that.
If you were listening to, but if you were listening to the conversation that
I'm
If you were listening to the conversation that I was having this morning, right, you would see me walk through a series of articles that you could construct a timeline from. And the question that I was asking was, when did the Prime Minister know that there was a great likelihood that both Bastian and Miller Bryce would be appointed to the cabinet? When did he determine with absolute certainty that they were in fact that they did in fact meet the qualifications to become a part of the cabinet? I could add on an extra question. Did the Prime Minister direct either Bastian or Miller Bryce to proceed in a manner that would enable them to be appointed to the cabinet? The questions that I am asking today have nothing to do with the integrity, the professionalism, right, or the capacity of Sebastian Bastian and Leslie Miller Bryce to lead. I'm speaking specifically to the environment that existed before the election and whether voters in those respective constituencies were aware of the dynamics at play when they walked into the voter booth. That's what I'm talking about. Let's go to the phone line, and then I'm going to continue. We're now in the administration cabinet and portfolio changes segment of the show. I should have announced the name of this segment. The name of this segment is Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Maybe just a member of the House of Assembly. Let's go to the phone line, producer. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, Aaron, I wasn't finished making my point.
Oh, because I was talking, and then you were insisting that you be allowed to talk, and I was just asking you to pause. Here we are again. Continue.
Right. All I was simply saying was I wasn't finished. That's it. Just for that.
Look at all the time you wasted, Antoine, man. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How are you?
Not bad. Yeah, Aaron, mm-hmm. I believe the situation with Mr. Boss and Mr. Leslie Bryce, right?
Mm-hmm.
The last four years of the the PLP administration, she mm-hmm. was, in 2021, she was told that she was not able to get no cabinet seat because of her
affiliation.
With the gaming industry.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that was clear. And I'm trying to figure out for the life of me, all of a sudden, because of the Sabah's introduction into politics, all of this has now become changed, because now what is being happening, she gets in because he gets in, and that's what I'm saying, because she was
for
him.
Or does he get in because she got in, right? Like, these are still questions on the table.
Yeah, but she was there before, so she couldn't get in until he reached to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how she got in,
mm-hmm.
because she was already there all of the time,
mm-hmm.
right?
I got
It's scary, but hey, I want to say something that, you know, I want to just touch on this, because this is what I also be watching there for the last 14 years on The Guardian.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see who can be picked from The Guardian after all of the other picks are picked.
But look here.
I'm a nice guy.
Hold on. Why are you in my list of questions? I didn't frame my question quite like that, though, right?
Oh,
But thank you very much. No, it'll be good. Thank you very much. Because the question is, who was left? Who's left to chair the agencies and sit on the boards and committees? Who is left? But back to the more important question. How do you think a Mr. Bacchus role, a Mr. Wade Watson, a Leonardo Lightburn, I don't care about Kirk Cornish's feelings, MP, PM of Abaco, yeah, Mikhail Barnaby, how do they feel? Like, how do you feel knowing that a Mr. Owen Wells, who just reached, is also a minister of state like you? But more importantly, how do you feel that people who have not, I mean, Mr. Fitzgerald has participated in frontline politics, but people who have not been a part of the frontline machinery over the last 4.5 years have been passed by for cabinet seats for people who are prominent parts of the party machinery for the last 4.5 years. Anyway, callers, I'm so sorry. We have to go to the break. If you could hold the line, please hold the line. You're on the clock with Erin Green. We'll be right back.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, Sino.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So out of the way.
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green. I got lots of calls, lots of texts. Let me just make this quick housekeeping note. On my own behalf and the behalf of residents scattered throughout the Eastern District of New Providence, there are pockets of the Eastern District of New Providence who have been experiencing a BTC service outage for the last 4.5 days. My personal experience, we started the first day, the Thursday, with no home Wi-Fi, and no data in the area. The data issue quickly resolved itself. The next day, in fact, everything resolved itself. And then the next day, Friday, when I came home from work, everything was down again except Flow TV and landline. No, so now landline is down. Home Wi-Fi is down. My wallet is down because I had to top up my mobile data so often. 4.5 days. The customer service reps are very upset that they work in a department where they feel complaints and the young lady tried to chastise me. When I called and I heard the banner message, the automated message, it did not say that data services were down anywhere. So I decided, let me wait on this phone so I could inform them that there is at least one pocket where the data services are also down. The young lady attempted to chastise me by telling me when I said to her, I didn't hear a mention of data services. I wanted to ensure that you knew. She told me, yeah, we know you should, it on our social media pages. And I wanted to say to her, how can I check your social media pages if I have no Wi-Fi at home and no data in the area that I'm in? These are the things that we expected candidates on this election campaign. But alas, they talked about nothing. Nothing. 4.5 days. Half day Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Y'all, this ain't, anyway, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? I'm sorry we lost you. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller. You still there?
I'm pleasant. Good morning, Ms. Green. How you doing today?
I'm good, thank you, sir. How are you?
All right, young boys are in there like hell down here in Friday State. But, you know, after all these years, voting since I was 21 years old and now 75, I am still confused by some of the things I see happen in law and in the House of Assembly. One year, we got this law that we reformed, and then the next year, to make it suit our fancy, we go back and reform the law to make it read the next way. One day, it could be a person with business in the House of Assembly, then next year, you can't be in the business in the House of Assembly. And it keeps going on around and around. At the end of the day, even if we question what it is, we get victimized for asking questions. As to how could one minute you telling me you're a multi-millionaire, then we elect you to the House Assembly, then you step down from that place where you're making millions and millions of dollars to get $100,000 a year. So when you step down from your business, what happened to all that money that was coming in from that business? For example, like Island Luck.
Okay, No. I appreciate the sentiment that you're raising. We're not going to use specific examples, right? Let's be very careful. Let's be very careful in our critique. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
My favorite niece.
Good afternoon, Uncle. How you doing?
Well, boy, good. I am glad that they would have put Rick Fox in the Senate, just to calm Sparky down a little bit. Sparky boy, just to calm Sparky down a little. But I think everybody knows, let me give my disclaimer. I'm a PLP supporter.
Mm-hmm.
I am concerned about the opposition because they are also now a part of the government.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think this election that the FNM is picking for Senator, I mean, Rick Fox just came here a couple months ago. Let me be fair to him. A couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
There were people that were in the trenches of the FNM from the torchbearer, like that young man in Primer Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, how Rick Fox could have jumped over all of them and become a senator?
Uncle, you know I have a similar question on the PLP side, right?
Go ahead.
With the appointment of a Mrs. Barbara Cartwright as Minister of Social Services.
What I know of Ms. Barbara Cartwright and Mr. Jerome Fitzgerald.
Okay, now pause. Hold on. Pause. This critique is not about their capacity to lead, right? It is about how the party decides who they're going to place where, okay? That's what the conversation is about.
Okay.
Yeah.
But let me tell you what I the PLP could do that with Ms. Barbara Carter and Jerome Fisher because they have a large number. They could reward somebody for working real, real hard like both of them did to push this campaign.
Okay,
for us.
Stick a pin.
What I'm saying, hold on.
I got you. Hold on.
You're gonna put a Ms. Comey Larvey in the Senate over a Denley Pan Markey? Come on, they're not serious.
Okay, I could appreciate that critique, right? Like I said, the critique of the placement of Cartwright is not about Cartwright's capacity to lead, right?
Yeah.
But it's about how the PLP decides who gets placed where. Now, you use the word, that's why I wanted to stick a pin right there. You use the word reward, right? Bang.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all, Uncle. If you,
okay,
hold on, wait,
okay,
but
me,
if you, wait, I got
back.
You, because
I'll
if,
take that back, because you know I want to be fair to you. I'll take that back.
No, because what I'm saying is, what I've, the little brief bit that I've read, right?
Yes.
And what I can speculate, like what it takes to manage a machine like the PLP,
yeah.
I suspect that Barbara Cartwright has the skill set to do the job. I don't expect her to be placed there as a reward. I expect
I think
her to be
the skill set to run social service.
That's, you see what I'm saying? And so I'm not critiquing her. I just, a lot of us think that these are rewards and favors.
But this just started last election or this election. Oh. This was happening from 67.
But listen, you don't remember at the end of the last administration, I hope the PLP win so my audience can see that the critique I give is egalitarian. It ain't
so
biased.
Let me ask you something in closing. Let me ask you something in closing. Two things, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
One, are you satisfied with the pick of the senators for the FNM? Like I say now, they're part of the government now, so we're talking government thing now.
I hear you.
Now, the young man that they took out of Freeport, the 30-year-old,
yeah.
Fine. I didn't even know him, but I like that.
I got you. So,
but let me say this.
Yeah.
Watch out for the fight in the convention. You're going to have Dr. Andre Rawlins and Adrian White as a team. And I'm going up against Deal and Michael Abarnett. Team. And then it's going to be another split.
Okay, listen, the people can say I'm entertaining you too much, right? Because the same question arises for me in the PLP.
Yeah.
Will these choices ultimately destabilize the PLP internally, or can the party whip and the chairman hold it together? That's
we'll
it.
Hold it together.
I got you. Thank you.
I can assure you of that.
I got you. Let's
now
go.
You, the PLP have disagreements, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, when the disagreement, when everybody comes out of the Selinden Pinlin headquarters, everybody singing of one page.
You know,
in the FNM, you always know they are a wrongdoing in the FNM meeting because it comes out to the public.
I got you. I gotta go. I gotta get to the next caller. Producer, prep the next caller. Y'all know I have a satirical political party. There's only one member because there can only be one leader. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Green, good morning.
Good morning. How you do?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Could you allow me to announce the honoree of Ms. Sheila Kalma on Sunday, please?
Yes, ma'am. Go on.
Okay. Sunday at the police headquarters at the Paul Farquharson Center.
Yes.
We'll be honoring Ms. Sheila Kalma for her long serving with the disabled.
Yes, ma'am. What? Where do we get the tickets and what time?
Tickets are purchased at the Training Center for the Disabled on Wolf Road.
Okay.
And the time is 4 to 7. I would like the community to please come on because Ms. Kalma's getting down in age now, so we're going to honor her and give her flowers while she lives. So everyone that Ms. Kalma came in contact with at the Stapleton School or wherever, we would like for them to be out.
All right. And I'm going to put out a word here. If you are a jitney driver or a transportation service provider or taxi driver who has worked with the disabled community, reach out to your clients and say, hey, they're here. They're doing a big thing at the headquarters for Ms. Sheila Kalma. Do you have a ride? Do your community members have transportation? Do you need my help? Just reach out. Thank you so much. And call
Karen,
back.
I'm hoping to see you there.
I can try and make it, ma'am.
Okay.
I can try and make it. I'm supposed to go camping deep in the bush this holiday weekend, but I'm going to have to stay in Nassau proper.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, take care.
Call back tomorrow.
Okay.
You can do it again. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's go to the next caller, producer. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Did I miss you? I am sorry. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How you do?
I am great, and good morning to the nation.
Good morning.
Ms. Green, I share the sentiments of your Nassau Village uncle. I don't understand what it is that the leader of the Free National Movement is doing, because a Rick Fox who just came, and a Kamala Lafay who was just the leader of the DNA, to put them in the Senate over those FNMs who has been there working from then to now. I mean, I just don't understand the thinking. And because of the leadership of the FNM is not changing, and because they're still on the same projection, I can now say that the PLP is on the way for 3 straight.
Oh, my goodness.
31.
I got you.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
But your critique of the PLP, I can tell you the PLP is good. I can tell you Barbara Cartwright has been there from then to now. She is not somebody who just came.
Oh, no, that's she what I'm saying.
She is well-deserving of the appointment.
A prominent...
Trump for Cheryl gave Noor the first nail that he put in the ox.
Okay? I got you.
So these are people who have been there. So, yeah, the PLP is good.
I got you. Like I say, my concern is hopefully this isn't a matter of winning the battle to lose the war. But on the point of Jerome Fitzgerald, somebody on the 13th of May, 2026, published in an online entity called Bahama Herald. It may be Bahamas Herald, but it could be Bahama Herald. This article, The Silent Architect, Jerome Fitzgerald and the Art of the Political Masterpiece. And I just want to say, I don't know. He has it's a glowing article, right? About Mr. Fitzgerald and his location in the PLP party. I share it not as a slur, but I do share it for critique. However, now may not be the time to delve into said critique, because I've got text upon text. We're going to go straight to the text line, and then tomorrow I've got this list of questions. Here's a text from earlier in the show. Hello, Miss Green. The FNM heading court is invited by the PLP. If the courts disagree that divestment of their interest into blind trust is not sufficient, okay, text it. We're going to go to the next text. A better question is, why is the FNM pretending that something is worth investigating? Could it be to distract from their controversial Senate selection? Is the Senate selection controversial? I was going to say perhaps lackluster. Maybe lackluster. Mind you, Ellsworth Johnson, party stalwart, brings a wealth of party institutional knowledge and governance and state institutional knowledge, right? Orinthia Komolafe has led an institution, the DNA, although she is no longer a part of that mechanism. Rick Fox performs under pressure. We know this, right? I just say maybe it is not as stellar as it could be. I think, like, for me, again, more concerning is how the cabinet and Senate selections can possibly impact the PLP internally. Here's another text. We need to call on the name of Jesus to make every knee bow with this political fight. Hey, Aaron, call Lincoln because Pinewood flooded today like climate change. I need boots on the ground and something. Y'all see this article in today's Tribune, PM Davis to deliver keynote address at historic IPCC meeting in Nassau. More than 200 of the world's leading climate change scientists will descend on Nassau this week as the Bahamas and Bahamas Aviation Climate and Severe Weather Network hosts this critical international conference, the largest gathering of its kind ever held in the Caribbean. Staging the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC meeting, underscores the country's commitment to ensuring that frontline nations are not merely subjects of climate research, but active participants in shaping it. Here's another text. You get a ministry and you get... Listen, you know, Obviously, the BTC message that I should have started the show with would have framed my location in this conversation. I am agitated. 4 days, would be now like it's 12, 18, 6 days out from the national election. And I know a family, their powers go off 6 times a day. Right now. The problem is, all 6 times is in the same hour. Yeah? Yeah. For the four, at the point, for the 6 days that the PLP been back in power, my communication services have been severely disrupted for 3 and 4 and a half of those days. Look at God. Look at God. But I am bitter because, didn't I tell you all that whoever won the election, I wanted to be appointed a senator so I could be Minister of State for Traffic? Yeah, man. The conversation about Leslie related to her spouse, who did something differently, some loophole they found. Like I said, the question is, was the law amended? Did the law need to be amended to affect this decision? As a text, ask yourself this question. Do you think the PM really gives two hoots about conflict of interest? The PM is showing that they will do whatever they want to do. While playing the citizens of the Bahamas like legal opponents, we now have to decipher what is being said whenever he speaks. We need to end this game. When the people call and say this has been happening for a long time, the political culture emanating from the political class and governance and politics in this country locates the citizen who's supposed to be the center of all of these processes, locates them in a position, a location that makes them the enemy. When the opposition who speaks on behalf of the people raises a point, somebody can get that's just political mischief. When I raise a point, people say, oh, the FNM in power, you must be a PLP. The PLP in power, you must be an FNM. As a text, your BTC outage is likely related to the 24 to 36 hour power outage also in the first days of this administration. BTC appears to have faulty power backup protection. Oi! Did you be reading my mind, texter? You know who doesn't read our minds? Or the notes that we try to get the customer service reps to leave in our files? Here's another text. Good morning, Aaron. Your logic and point regarding Ministers Bastian and Bryce's cabinet appointments is baseless and senseless in law, convention, and simple common sense. Good morning, texter. I'm going to save that for another time. I don't know where you got your law degree from, but it's not a place that I will be getting mine from. Please and thank you. Here's another text. Wheeling and dealing in the House of Parliament. Bahamas, y'all okay with this? I see more outrage over Rick becoming senator. This is what we come to? All right. Last text. Hello, Miss Green. I'm proud of the way you are controlling your show, not allowing people with personal issues to overpower your topic. Thank you, texter. The music is playing for tomorrow's show. We're going to start off with a positive note. I thought somebody would have said it. Y'all see we got a Ministry of Culture. We got a Ministry of Culture. Which ministry has responsibility for AI? Who's responsible for broadcasting, housing, and land reform? And Keith Bell all in one ministry? What will Cornish and Barnaby be doing in the OPM? I'm all out of time. To the text I missed. Oh boy, Aaron, based on the decisions that Pintard has made so far regarding the Senate appointments, it shows that Pintard would not be a great decision maker as PM. Also, he didn't run a great campaign. He didn't. It says, please advise Uncle that just as the PLP finds it insulting and inappropriate for FNM partisans to comment on PLP matters, the pot should not call the kettle black. Texas says, never mind, it's all a game. It's all a game to them, but it's up to us. Tech says, wait a few days, laws will be amended. Our political culture has no respect for citizens. Okay, we're all out of time. Thank you, producer, for your patience. You guys, stay tuned, because Guardian Radio AM and CA Newry is bringing you another exciting show. Stay tuned all day, every day. Fresh news, smart talk.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.